But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And that's a phrase I want you to just sort of pay attention to tonight. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. As you read the book of 1 Samuel, after Saul was anointed king and after David came on the scene and killed Goliath, you'll find three or four instances where David has to run from Saul for his life. Saul has realized that God is going to take the kingdom away from his family and give it to David. And so Saul decides to take matters into his own hands. He says, well, I'll just kill David, and then maybe my son Jonathan will have a chance to follow me as the king and be the ruler in Judah. And so David's running from Saul. I mean, you know, he was Saul's son-in-law, married Saul's youngest daughter. He had been a leader in Saul's army. Of course, he had defeated Goliath and won a great victory over the Philistines. His success sort of outshone Saul's. They were come back from battle one time, and all the ladies were there welcoming them home, and they began to sing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And Saul got a little bit jealous over that. And on a couple of occasions when David was playing the harp from Saul, because the Bible says an evil spirit came upon Saul, and when David played the harp for him, that spirit departed. His soul was soothed, so to speak. And a couple occasions when David was playing a harp, Saul had actually taken a javelin and threw it at David and, tried to kill him. So David had left, was running from Saul, and actually on a couple occasions had an opportunity with one of his men to kill Saul. I mean, one time they were in a cave. Another time they were just sleeping out under the stars. And both times the king and his general and all his men were asleep. And David and one of his men came up to Saul. And this guy that was with him, who was one of Joab's brothers. Joab was David's general. And he was one of Joab's brothers. And he says, hey, the Lord has delivered your enemy into your hands. Let me take the javelin. And he said one time, it only take me one poke. He didn't use the word poke. He said, only take me one time. I'll just kill him with one shot. And Dave said, no, nobody can lift up his hand against God's anointed and prosper. So we're not going to kill him. So one time they cut off the end of his robe. Another time they took his spear and his water bottle. And both times David went a far piece away and woke up Saul and said, hey, the Lord delivered you into my hands. I didn't kill you. Why are you after me? Well, David got to the point that he got tired of running for Saul, so he just went to the land of the Philistines, and he became sort of a servant to the king of the Philistines, and the king had given him a city, Ziklag, to live in. And David lived in that city, he and his men. There was about 600 of them at the time. And the Philistines were about to go to war with Israel. And because David had been there for like a year and a half, his expectation was that the king of the Philistines king would want him to go to war with him. And so he and his men were there getting ready to go to war. And the Philistine generals, the other leaders in the Philistine army, said, what's he doing here? We don't want David and his men to go. And the Philistine king says, well, why not? He's proven his loyalty over the past year and a half. We know he can fight. Why shouldn't he go with us? And they said, well, because in the heat of the battle, he may decide to join up with Saul and just tell him not to go. And so the king told David, the other generals don't want you to go. And I'm sure David was glad not to go to fight his own people. So he and his men went back to Ziklag, and they had discovered what we read about in this chapter, that the Amalekites, who, by the way, anybody remember who the Amalekites were? They were the people that God told Saul to just go kill every single one of them. And you remember he said, kill all the people, men, women, boys and girls, all the animals, kill everybody. And Saul didn't obey God. And we find throughout, the rest of the Jewish history, the Amalekites were there to cause trouble for Israel. But anyhow, the Amalekites had come. and burned this city that David and his men were living in. They had taken all their wives, all their children, all their goods. And so David and his 600 men had come back and to the city and seen all this. And, of course, it was discouraging to them. So get the picture. Here's a bunch of Jews living in exile. They're serving a foreign king, a wicked king, from a people that were enemies with the Jews. They weren't allowed to go back to Jerusalem. They weren't allowed to worship their gods. They had all these false gods around them. I mean, they had each other, but that was it. None of their families were there. And so they come back home, and everybody's gone. Their wives, their kids, all their goods. And the Bible says that when they saw it, they began to weep, and they wept until they could weep no more. So they didn't have any more power to cry. You ever get to that point where you just cried and cried and cried, and you just couldn't cry anymore? So that's where they were there. I mean, they could not weep anymore. And David was feeling it from not only a personal standpoint. I mean, his two wives were taken. He had children that were taken. But he was also feeling it for these men that he led. Because these were men that had devoted their life to him, had left their homes in Israel, had come and lived in exile, away from their extended families. And now they were gone. And I'm sure, you know, they didn't really mean to do it, but they said, David, it's your fault. And the Bible says they talked of stoning him, talked of killing him. Now, again, these were men devoted to David, and I'm sure they were just talking out of their sadness, their frustration, their feeling of losing everything, so to speak. And the Bible says that David, at that time, had nobody to turn to. I mean, Samuel was the one that anointed him king, and some of the times when we find him running from Saul, he would go back to Samuel when he was discouraged, and Samuel would encourage him. But he couldn't do that because now Samuel was dead. He wasn't there anymore. Sometimes he could go back home to his father, to Jesse, when he was discouraged. But Jesse wasn't there. I mean, he was living with another king because I'm sure Saul wanted to kill him as well. And so David had nobody to go to at this time of discouragement. And so the Bible says that David had to encourage himself. Now, there are times when all of us need encouragement. Sometimes that encouragement comes directly from God. I mean, when we get discouraged, we can get into this book, and God can speak to us through this book and remind us of the kind of God that He is, and remind us because of Him, we shouldn't be discouraged. I mean, we can get in there and we can read verses like Isaiah 40, verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint." And we're reminded that God, when we get discouraged and when we want to quit and when we get tired, that God will renew our strength if we wait on Him. And so we have that promise. And we can take encouragement from that promise. We can go to Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And you know, the little girl says, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." And that's all we need. It's just to know that He is our shepherd and that He cares for us like a shepherd does his sheep. And He'll lead us into those green pastures. And He'll make us beside those still waters. And He'll restore our soul and prepare that table before us and anoint our head. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." And so we get our encouragement from God. I mean, we come to this place, and our Sunday school teachers, and through the preaching, it's a conduit from God to remind us of the promises that God has made to us, and to remind us what God has done for us in the past. And we're encouraged by God. Other times, God uses people to encourage us. I mean, he'll use family and he'll use friends and he'll use church members. I mean, that's what Hebrews 10:25 is talking about when it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging or urging forward one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We're supposed to watch out for one another as in a church family. And when we see somebody that's discouraged because of their circumstances or because of the burden that they're under, our responsibility is to go and be an encouragement to them, to exhort them, to stir them up, to remind them that God's still God and God knows what's going on in their life and God's got a purpose for everything. And God, even though he doesn't keep us out of trouble, he goes through that trouble with us. And oftentimes in the midst of discouragement and trouble, we feel him and see his presence more than we do when things are going good. And so God will use other people to encourage us. Sometimes it'll be a word that's spoken. In Proverbs 25, the Bible says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. And sometimes a single word or a sentence or a thought can be just the thing a person needs to get them out of the discouragement that they're in. Sometimes it can be just a handshake or a pat on the back or a hug. And again, don't take it lightly. I mean, when we spend time in our services shaking hands, we don't do that by accident. We do it on purpose because that's a time. Again, you don't get to spend a lot of time with any one person, but a handshake or the hug or those short sentences that you say, that word of greeting that you say, you don't know how many times that's an encouragement to people that you don't even know that they're discouraged, but they are, and that handshake or that hug is just what they need. I can't tell you how many times people have come up to me and said, boy, you know, somebody said something to me tonight when we were shaking hands, or they patted me on the back, and they said, you just don't know what that meant to me tonight, or because I that's exactly what I needed. And so I would encourage you, don't take it for granted. Because you never know. I mean, they may be smiling and they may have, you know, everything may look like it's going okay. But there is discouragement that we don't know about that God uses us sometimes when we don't even know that he's using us to break that discouragement. And so sometimes it comes from others. And by the way, you ought to have people in your life that you pick out that when you get discouraged, you go hang out with them. I mean, you ought to just have people in your life that you and that when you know that when you get down in the dumps, that they can get you out. And you ought to sort of set up a council. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And a lot of times we read that verse and say, well, you know, counselors are people you go to for advice. And that's certainly true. But counselors can also be people that lift you out of the dumps of depression, so to speak, and remind you that God is still God and that he still loves you and that, hey, you know, even though you're going through a tough time now, God knows you are and he loves you and can be an encouragement to you. And so, I would just tell you, have people in your life that are your counsel of encouragement so that when you get down in the dumps, you can call them and say, hey, can we get together and have a Coke? Can we get together and have a piece of pie? Can we just get together and talk? Because you know when you get with them, they're going to lift you up. They're going to encourage you. And so sometimes God encourages us directly from his word, through a teacher, through a preacher. Sometimes that encouragement comes from other people that he puts in our life. But there are going to be times when we won't hear from God, and there are going to be times when there will be no other people around to encourage us, that we'll have to do like David did. We will have to encourage ourselves. We'll have to do like he did when there was nobody else around. Samuel was gone. His family was not there. Now his men was there, but they talk of stoning him. When he felt all alone and God wasn't there, God was really there, but David didn't feel like he was. And we're going to have to do exactly what David did, encourage ourselves. So you say, okay, preacher, how do you encourage yourself? That's a good question. So let me tell you how you encourage yourself. You encourage yourself like you would encourage somebody else. Huh? I know this is deep, but just stick with me for a while, okay? You encourage yourself like you would encourage somebody else. Okay, so Adam, come up here for a second.
All right.
And Nick, you come up here. We're gonna let Nick be the discouraged one, the discouragee, okay? And Adam's gonna be the discourage or the encourager, not the discourager. I almost said the wrong word. Encourager. So Nick's down in the dumps. You can tell just by looking at him. Well, he just looks like he's down in the dumps, right? You're gonna encourage him. What would you do? What would be one of the first?
I like that shirt. That's sharp. Thank you. Good haircut.
So that's what you would do? You would lie to him? Well, I had something a little bit more in mind. All right, so let me help you.
Something wrong with my haircut?
No, I'm just teasing. It's a nice haircut.
Thank you.
But one of the things that you could do if somebody was discouraged is you could quote scripture to him, right? Okay? So let's say Nick's a little worried. So he hadn't worked for a while. So he's a little discouraged about how he's going to pay the bills. You could remind him of that verse in Philippians that says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right? See, that's a good scripture. You could go ahead and sit down for a minute over here, all right? I'll be the encourager. So Nick's discouraged. I want to encourage him. And so the first thing I would try would be reminding him of the promises that God puts in the Bible. So you're having a tough time. I want you to know, God knows what you need. I mean, it tells us in the Sermon on the Mount. He knows that we need to eat. He knows that we need clothes to wear. He knows that we need a place to live. I mean, he knows that you have bills to pay. And the Bible says that if you put him first, he'll take care of all those other things. He said he'll supply your every need. The Word of God is a good encourager to people. And so one of the ways that we encourage other people is by reminding them of what the Bible says. Now, another way, okay, now I'll come back up here. All right, now, another way is what Adam tried. It's just to be friendly. Hey, nice shirt, nice haircut, nice, well, never mind. But just to, point out things and basically say, now look, I know it looks bleak, I know it looks bad, but it ain't all bad. I mean, God must be trying to accomplish something in your life. He's putting you through this test, and usually he, I told somebody this last night. God promises that he'll never put more in our life than we can handle. God knows our limit. He knows how much we can handle. And he promises that he'll never load more upon us than we can take. And when he puts stuff on us, he's got a purpose. So God must be really trying to accomplish something in your life. I know you're under a load. I know, you have a lot of worries and concerns. But just think, God must be trying to accomplish something in your life. And pretty soon, Nick, it's going to be over. You'll get to the other side of this thing. It may be like it happened to you over the weekend. It may come just like that. Or God may put you through a test a little bit longer. But he's trying to accomplish something in your life. And then another way that you encourage people is by reminding them what God did for them before. Hey, you remember a couple years ago when you were going through circumstances the same way? What did God do then?
He opened doors for me.
He opened doors.
Yeah.
He got you through it. And he did it before, and he can do it again.
Right.
Okay? All right. So did that work?
Yeah.
Okay, sit down.
There's a rumor going around next week I'll get a
steamboat. Yeah, I think it's just a rumor. Okay, so, I mean, that's, you might try those things to encourage other people. I mean, sometimes you might just say, hey, look, I'm just going to stay with you. I'm just going to shadow you around. I'm not going to leave you. I mean, where you go, I'm going to go. And sometimes just being with a person, knowing that they have a friend, is an encouragement. So if that's how I encourage Nick, let's say that I get to the point where I need to be encouraged. And Nick's not there to encourage me. And Adam's not there to encourage me. And I don't feel like God is there. Sometimes we feel God's forsaken us. I know he never does. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But sometimes when we pray and we don't get our prayers answered and a lot of different things happen in our life, we say, boy, you know, God must be so busy taking care of other people, he's forgotten about me. And we need, in those times, to be able to encourage ourselves. Now, one of the ways we encourage ourselves, just like we encourage other people, start quoting Bible verses to yourself. Or get your Bible out if you can't quote them and go to those promises that maybe you've underlined or highlighted in your Bible and just start going through those promises and claiming those promises. God did say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He did say, I'll never put more on you than you can handle. I know what your limit is. And by the way, when he puts things in our life like that, he's trying to accomplish something. So if I can get through this, he's got something better waiting on the other side. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning, the psalmist says. And sometimes the greatest joy, oftentimes the greatest joy comes after the greatest sorrow. I mean, just think, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got to be in the presence of the Son of God. They had to be in the fiery furnace to do it. But they got to be in the presence of the Son of God. Daniel got to see God work miracles in his life. He had to be in the lion's den to see it. But he closed up the mouth of the lions. And so just get your Bible. And that's why it's so important. When you're on, and I'll just jump ahead of myself so I make sure I get done. Sometimes when you're on top, it's when you need to prepare for when you're going to be on bottom. Huh? When you're encouraged and you're feeling on top, that's when you need to prepare for when you're going to be discouraged and be on the bottom. So you're encouraged. You're reading your Bible and you run across a promise that just builds your encouragement. Write it down. Put it on a 3x5 card so that when you get discouraged, you can reach into your pocket and say, hey, I remember when I was on top, this verse meant a lot to me. And when you get discouraged, it'll mean a lot to you then. So, we encourage other people by reminding them of the promises in the Bible. We encourage ourselves by reminding ourselves of the promises in the Bible. We encourage other people by reminding them of what God has done for them before. We can encourage ourselves by the same way. We can encourage ourselves by remembering what God has done for us before. Now, again, sometimes when we get in a valley, we might have a hard time of remembering what God done for us before. So when we're on the mountaintop, write down what God did for you that got you there. When you got the good test results back, boy, God gave me a good test result back. Put it on a 3x5 card. Stick it where you can find it. Don't stick it somewhere where you can't find it. It won't do you any good. Stick it somewhere where you can find it. So that when discouragement comes, you can go back and get that, hey, I had a prayer that I prayed and God answered it. I mean, he went, like Angie was testifying, when Angie gets excited, I love it. I mean, we asked for something and God gave us more. Asked for one job, Nick got two, and I got one. And so when God does that, write down on a card so that when you get discouraged, you don't have to remember it. You can go to your little 3x5 card and say, oh boy, remember that? Happened a couple of 3 weeks ago. God sure is good. I asked for one thing, he gave me three. Yeah, I can encourage myself with that. I can encourage myself with that. See, because we need to prepare ourselves, because there will be times when it doesn't seem like we hear from God, when it doesn't seem like there's anybody around us that can encourage us. And we feel like David, we're all by ourselves, and if we don't encourage ourselves, nobody's going to encourage us. Nobody's going to encourage us. So we have to encourage ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to be ready to do it. So memorize the scripture or write them down on a 3x5 card. Remember what God has done for you already, or write them down on a 3x5 card. Remember how God has seen you through these trials in the past and how you made it through. All of us can remember times when we didn't think we were going to make it, where we thought the obstacle was so big or the mountain was so tall that there's no way that we could get around it. And we knew when we made it through that it was not us, it was God. Now, I'll just tell you, if he did it before, he can do it again. He can do it again. And so we need to keep going back to those times that God has worked in our life and remember them so that when we need to encourage ourselves, we can. Just like David did. Now, you read the story. I'll just sort of like be, we lost Paul Harvey over the weekend. I always like Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. And I know my father-in-law, who's up in heaven, heaven's a little bit sweeter to him now because Paul Harvey is in heaven. I mean, he always listened to Paul Harvey every day. You could not talk when Paul Harvey, and Adam will tell you could not talk when Paul Harvey was on. It's like God was talking and you were interrupting God. I mean, he just had that high respect for Paul Harvey. The rest of the story is David encouraged himself. He went to God and said, should we go after these guys that took our wives and our children? And they didn't know if they were dead or alive or anything. And God said, yep, go after them. They're all alive, and you're going to recover everything. Everything. Sure enough, they went after them. They got their wives, their children, and then a bunch of other things that weren't theirs that the Amalekites had taken from other people that they got as spoils of the battle that they fought against the Amalekites. And so God worked again to show David that he was still God, had a plan, had a purpose, knew what he was doing, and David just needed to trust him. So, how do you encourage yourself? Just like you would somebody else. Just like you would somebody else. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.